I want to start off our message with a quote that I would like for us to think about because it's a provocative quote that is going to cause us to step back for a moment and think about the complexities of it. So here's the quote. It can oftentimes seem more difficult to trust God than to obey God. It can oftentimes seem more difficult to trust God than to obey God. This quote actually comes from Jerry Bridges in his wonderful book called Trusting God. And he starts off the book with that quote. And even just self-disclosure, he said, you know, my journey to trusting God has been a long and arduous climb and grind to learn to trust in God. But the reason that he said this is that it can seem more difficult to trust God than to obey him is for this reason. He said, obedience and a command or a law of God comes with clearly defined boundaries. Okay, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill. Clearly defined boundaries. He said, but when it comes to trusting God, we wrestle with that because there are no boundaries. It's just a kind of an open-ended statement that takes all different kinds of shapes and forms and textures. And so he said, for that reason, we can more easily wrestle over whether we are going to trust the Lord based not on circumstances but on who he is than to just obey him because we can see and understand clearly the law. My youngest son this summer has enjoyed taking bike rides with some friends around town. And we could give him a command that could be very clearly understood and either obeyed or disobeyed. So if we said, Micah, you can ride around town with your friends, just don't go down to the Mackinac River and swim. There's just some dangers. River might be a little more fast-paced at times, or you just don't know. There's no adult down there to chaperone. If anything could go wrong, ride your bike. Just don't go down to the river and swim while you guys are out. Clearly defined law, rule, if you will, that can be understood and has boundaries to it. But if I were to say to him, wonderful, go out bike riding with your friends, just be home by 7:30. A little bit more vague, and maybe I even follow that statement up with, just trust me, just be home at 7:30. Little less defined, less understood. Okay, Dad's asking me just to trust him on this one. But, you know, then he goes out bike riding, and just to be clear, he has not done this. I'm not airing out his foibles or anything. He's very good with being punctual. But let's just say he's out with his friends. He's enjoying the bike ride. He's having a good time, and he starts to think about, be home at 7:30. Man, I'm having a good time. It's still light outside. I mean, it's like it's dangerous if I'm riding my bike home at 7:30. All they probably want me to do is brush my teeth, get ready, and go to bed. I'm sure the family's not doing anything tonight. I'm just going to take my chances with the consequences. I'm going to stay out till dark, enjoy time with my friends, and come home when I'm ready to come home. So imagine if he were to come tooling home on his bike at 9 o'clock or 9:30 to say, I know I broke your trust what you had asked me to do. Maybe I get grounded for a week or something like that. But what if I'm standing there and I say to Micah as he comes riding his bike in, you know, I just asked you to trust me. I was going to surprise the family with a getaway overnight. We were going to go to a water park up north, stay the night in a hotel. We were going to leave at 7:30 when you got home, but now all of those plans are disrupted. He'd probably be sitting there thinking, oh, I should have looked past what was there and trusted my dad in what he said. I mean, do you see, just even in a real simple illustration, and I'm sure that illustration falls down on many parts, but I'm trying to help us understand the difference of that statement between obeying a command or a clearly defined law that has boundaries to it, and those that are more fuzzy, that we struggle with because it takes trust in the Lord rather than something that we can see and understand immediately. You know, the Apostle Paul struggled with this in Scripture. there were clearly defined commands that he knew, he accepted, and he even taught. We've seen some of them even in the book of Ephesians as we've gone through it here in the last few months. That in Ephesians chapter 4 specifically, when it came to matters of the tongue, don't let any corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of other people. Very clearly defined. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath and your anger, he says. There were clearly defined rules that he not only understood, practiced, but also delivered them to the church. But then think about this. Don't we remember that it was the Apostle Paul himself who prayed and asked God on three different occasions to remove the thorn in his side? We're not absolutely sure on what that thorn means, but we often use that phrase, this is just a thorn in my side. This is something that's just nagging at me, and I wish it would go away, but it won't go away. Paul even prayed three times, Lord, would you remove this thing that is annoying to me, that is hindering and impeding my life? And the Lord said, no, trust me, my grace is sufficient for you. So even in the life of the Apostle Paul, struggling with this idea of clear-cut, boundaried laws and commands given to us versus these ambiguous trustings that come up in many shapes and forms in life, trusting in our finances, trusting in our relationships, trusting in our health, trusting in our local or state or national or global situations. We're going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks in some of these different areas of our life, what does it mean to trust in a trustworthy God? Why can we understand and maybe readily, if our heart is in the right place with the help of God's Spirit, readily obey, but we are so reticent to trust in this undefined, without boundaries, ambiguous part of our life? We've just come out of this series in the book of Ephesians. It's been a wonderful series. I've really enjoyed walking through this book with you, brothers and sisters. I've enjoyed the conversations and the sharpening that we've had through the months of going through the book of Ephesians. Probably to summarize it, I found no better way. This wasn't my own idea. I borrowed it. But just sit, walk, stand. That God seats us in eternity in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ because of the work that he's done on the cross. We sit and we rest in that truth. We know that our salvation and forgiveness is secure because of who God is and bundled up in all that he has done. And so we sit and rest in that. But then we walk that truth out in our life. We don't walk for God's glory, but we walk from his glory. We don't walk for his love, but we walk from his love. We let those things work themselves out in our life because of the love with which he has loved us. So we sit, we walk, and then these last months or so, we've looked at in Ephesians chapter 6, the fact that we stand firm in our day, having put on the armor of God that he has supplied. We cannot do it in our own strength, and so we lean on the Lord and we put on his armor and all of those beautiful pieces of armament, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. We stand firm. We do not waffle. We don't retreat. We stand firm in our faith, having put on the armor of God. And now today, we take up this series for the next couple of weeks on this idea of trust. What about this undefined calling that God has put on us, that we are to trust him even when we don't see him, that we are to trust him even when our minds can't understand what he's doing, that we are to trust him no matter what, that we are to see beyond the circumstance to the everlasting God in heaven who stands behind those circumstances? That is where our trust must lie. And so we're going to be taking a look. The title of this morning's message is Walking in Trust of Our Trustworthy God. You know, we're living in a day, in a time of storms. It's bringing about uncertainty in our life. It's bringing about shaky nerves. It's bringing about fear. So just to be clear, God is always our rock. He's always our shelter. But don't we need especially to be reminded of this when we're in a storm? You know, your home is always your place of shelter, but on a beautiful day, you may not recognize it as such. But in a hailstorm or in a windstorm or when a tornado warning is coming over the news wire, you are acutely aware that my house is a shelter from that storm. And we are living in a day and living in an age where there are storms raging about us. Brothers and sisters, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded often, and we need to be encouraged that we can trust in a trustworthy God and hold our positions fast. So this is what we'll be looking at, just kind of giving an overview of this week, and we're going to take a look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, two verses, well-known verses, but let's just take the truths of those verses and set them into our current context. Say, what does it mean to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and not lean on what I understand? And so the title, Walking in Trust of Our Trustworthy God, let's look at these just one phrase at a time. The first phrase here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we're going to learn this truth, that we are commanded to trust the Lord completely. We are being called on by Scripture to trust in the Lord because He is trustworthy. In fact, we won't go to this text here today, but in 1 John, that book tells us that when we don't trust the Lord, we are calling Him a liar. It's not just the positive encouragement to trust the Lord because He is trustworthy. There's actually this entire side of sinning when we don't trust the Lord because He is trustworthy. And we're choosing not to trust the trustworthy God. But today we'll be looking at the positive side of this from Proverbs chapter 3. Let's look at this truth just in this first phrase here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This idea of trust, this word that's being used here, the definition behind it, it speaks of physically leaning on something, trusting it that way, to physically lean on it as though you trust it, or figuratively to rely on someone in trust. Now, obviously, we're told right here specifically that it takes the sense of relying on God, trusting, our verse says, in the Lord, leaning. Not physically as though we need to be propped up with our bodies, but in our souls to throw ourselves completely in dependence upon the Lord. Trust in Him. It doesn't just leave it ambiguous. It has an object. Our trust is to be in the Lord. And the Lord that is being spoken of here is the covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. Isn't it quite a thought to realize and to know, to be reminded that in all of human history, God has never, ever once proven Himself to be untrustworthy? The millions and billions of people that have called on His name throughout all of the eras and ages of human history, not once has He ever been called untrustworthy. But He is a trustworthy God. And we are told here to trust in Him. We are to do this unwaveringly because there is no comparison to the God who sits in heaven. You know, everybody trusts in something. There's no option not to trust. Even if it's to trust in chance, it's to trust in fate, it's to trust in yourself. It's to trust in something, utter randomness. Everyone is trusting in something. They believe something to be true about this life, and they believe something to be true about the next life. Everybody is trusting in something. This verse is encouraging, calling, commanding us to put your trust in the right place. Put it in the Maker and Creator, God, who is completely trustworthy. This trust is to be done, we're told here, with all our heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is the center of our being, the core of who we are. This means that there are no areas of exclusion for our trust. We don't, in other words, pray and say, Lord, I trust you with my family safety, but my finances, I'll take care of that. I'll work that out. I'll work hard. I'll invest well. I'll save some money. My finances are on me. Lord, I'll trust you with my family safety. No, we are to trust the Lord with all of our core, all of our being, all of our command center, all of our heart. You know, these last few months have exposed the folly and uncertainty of trusting in anything other than God himself. Often we live with the unrealistic confidence that somehow we are in control. Can we say that if there's any good that's come out of a global pandemic for the last few months, it's to shake us up a little bit and to put it right in our face that really, we don't control anything. What are we in control of? Can I for certainty say that I can control the rest of my day, that I can control tomorrow, that I can control next week? How foolish and uncertain is that? This has put it front and center. Humanity has been exposed, and we realize that there is fear and uncertainty because we really are not in control. So here is what we must learn. We come to Scripture and we realize that we trust in God. Our confidence cannot be in our health or a healthcare system or science or our freedoms or stable daily routines or finances or even the certainty of tomorrow. That cannot be. That is a shakable, uncertain trust. We must fully trust in the Lord with all of our heart. All of our core must trust in the Lord himself. He is the only trustworthy one. We move from that phrase to the second phrase, and we'll see this coming out of the second half of this verse, that this trust is not based on my own judgment of life situations. This trust is not based upon my own assessment of life and how it's going and whether or not it's unfolding according to my terms or not. Proverbs 3:5 again says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean. Again, it has the same connotation as trust. Trust being lean rightly, lean on the trustworthy one. This now says, now do not do this. Do not lean. Do not put your weight on something. That would be in the physical realm or in the figurative or spiritual realm. Do not rely on someone for stability that is your own understanding. Do not rely on that to figure out life and what is going on. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not now lean or put the weight of things and assessing life and understanding it by your own judgment on your own ability. Here it certainly is speaking of relying on my limited human understanding of life and why life unfolds the way that it does. It's hard for me to think about not knowing the future and looking at things in limited judgment. I certainly could think of many examples from my own life, but my mind often goes to the missionary Amy Carmichael. She tells the story about when she was a young girl, she had brown eyes, and she despised having brown eyes. And so she would pray at night, Lord, I ask that you would change my eye color from brown to blue. Why did you give me brown eyes? I wanted blue eyes. Only later to realize in her 20s and as a young woman, as she headed off to the mission field, she was ministering in India. She realized that had the Lord answered her request or had the Lord given her blue eyes, in the context in which she was ministering, it would have been far more difficult for her to be accepted and for her to settle in and have a ministry there had her eyes been blue. But because her eyes were brown, like everyone else's, God had given her a fruitful ministry there. And she repented in her writing. She said, what little I knew at 9 and 10 and 11 years old, praying and not understanding what God had in store for me, that I wanted something different and I wanted to change it only to realize that God was infinitely more wise than me. And so she did not lean on her own understanding. And maybe she realized that lesson only a little bit later. But that is the kind of thing, brothers and sisters, that we cannot rely on what is immediately in front of us. We do not rely on our own understanding. We trust and lean in the trustworthy God. Imagine life like a 500-piece puzzle, but there's only about 25 or 30 pieces of that puzzle put in place. And every day you walk by this puzzle sitting there on the table and you're trying to make a determination of what it is. You walk by one day and you say, that is a zebra. I can see it. And then the next day you walk by and you say, that's not a zebra. That's a kitchen sink. And then the next day you walk by and you say, it's a Fiat car. And you're trying to make sense of something that you don't have all of the pieces to make sense of, and so our best guesstimates are but folly. This is what it is like to try to make sense of our own lives and the things that come about our hours and our days and our years when we lean on our own understanding. Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you because you're trustworthy. I don't even trust my own judgment. So, things that come up in our lives, when our health prevents us from doing things, when we're overlooked for a job, when our investments take a plunge, when our friends or family suddenly turn against us, when our security that we think we are secure in, when that is shaken, we do not rely on our own ability to grasp that because we have only but a small piece of the puzzle. In those moments, brothers and sisters, we should just humbly pray, taking the truth of this verse, and humbly pray, Lord, I trust you. I don't know what's going on in this situation, but I trust you. Help me to learn as you walk with me through this. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm leaning on your trustworthiness. We move on to verse 6. We see that not only are we commanded to trust the Lord, and this trust is not based on our own judgment of life situations, but now there's a turn, because rather, in verse 6, this trust looks to God instead of the immediate circumstance. This trust looks to the Lord who sits on his throne in heaven, and it looks to him instead of our circumstance. So look with me at verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This trust is directed towards God in every point of life. We're not to section out or divide our life into some sort of segments. The verse doesn't say in some of your ways. In some of your ways, acknowledge him. These, but not these. No. The verse says in all of your ways, acknowledge him. In every point of life, we are to acknowledge God. Now, what does that mean, to acknowledge God? To acknowledge him is to think about him, to have mental awareness of his involvement in that situation. To acknowledge God isn't just to have this fleeting, oh yeah, the Lord's there. No. Bring him down into the situation so that we are aware and thinking about what is God doing in this moment, in this circumstance. You'll notice again that this verse does not say, in all of your ways, look at and examine your circumstances. Here's how we'll make sense of life. In all of your ways, look at the circumstance. No, it tells us, don't put your eyes on the circumstance, but in all of your ways, look to him. Look beyond the circumstance. Look beyond the immediate and look to him. Think constantly about the Lord. Don't think constantly about the circumstance. Don't fret and worry over the circumstance. Don't try to understand the circumstance completely. It says instead to think about and look to God in all of life's experiences. Do you remember the Apostle Peter? This is told in Matthew chapter 14, if you want that reference. But do you remember when the Apostle Peter got out of the boat and began walking on the water? A miraculous situation, of course, but so as long as his eyes were on Christ, the circumstances didn't matter. Walk on water? What is that to the Lord? What is that to the Lord? So as long as his eyes and his trust were on the Lord, the circumstances had little significance. But as soon as he began to look around and to see what was going on and took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink and not to stay above the water. That is the truth of this verse, brothers and sisters, that we are not to look at the circumstances, but we are to look at the God behind the circumstances. We're going to study next week, why does the sovereignty of God matter? How does that come into play in all of life's circumstances? But for here, we're just going to do a little bit of a flyover. In all of life's steps, our eyes look to God in trust, not our circumstances. That's what it means to say, in all of your ways, in all of life's specifics, think about, bring the Lord into and acknowledge him in them. And then we close with this last phrase of verse 6, and it's teaching us that trust allows us to rest in God's course for your life. Now, we walk in tremendous joy and rest when we align our course with God's course. And God does have a course, and it won't be shaken, but oftentimes we might kick against it, fight against it, and say, well, Lord, your course is not following my course. That's not the way it works. His course is the course, and we bring ourselves under it, and we have in that rest as we trust God's course for our life. Trust allows our souls to be at rest. Look at with me the end of verse 6 of Proverbs 3. He will make straight your paths. He will do it. We see for a final time in these verses that, again, we don't cut our own paths in life. We do not control our days. If you'll remember in Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, this comes from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this, who can even add a single moment to their life? With worry and fret and hope, who can even add a single moment to their life? And the rhetorical answer was to be answered with this, no one. No one can think even a moment onto their life because those circumstances and situations are in the control of God and no one else. We don't cut our own paths of life. We don't control our days. God and God alone is able to make our paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, look to him. He will make your paths of life straight. He alone is able to make our lives meaningful, purposeful, valuable, worshipful for his glory and our good. Let me just close with this thought, brothers and sisters. As humans, we are interesting creatures, aren't we? Even sometimes as Christians, I'll be the first to admit this is true of me. Why is it that I can trust God with my eternity, but I can't trust him with August 9th? That's today. I can trust God with my entire eternity, my sins to be forgiven, brought home safely to heaven when this body gives out and my time on this earth is over. And I can trust God for all of that, but I can't trust him with today. We're strange creatures, aren't we? We look to the current situation of our day. We look to the news of the future, and we fret and we worry, and we're unable to trust God in today as though somehow he can't handle it, as though he doesn't have a plan, as though he's not in control. And here we are, we'll trust him with the most urgent, ultimate, important thing all of eternity, and yet when we think about it in today and on this day, we struggle. We struggle to trust. One of my favorite examples that Jerry Bridges uses in his book, Trusting God, is he says, this is what it looks like to trust God and why it's so uncertain. He said, suppose you're walking down a footpath, but instead of being able to see out across the path of where you're going and to see all of the obstacles and the twists and the turns in front of you, instead there is this very thick curtain immediately in front of your path. And it doesn't move back 10 yards or 20 yards or 30 yards, but instead it only moves insofar as you take one step. It only recedes as you walk along the path of life. He said, that is why it is so hard. We want to peek under the curtain. We want to look around. We want to tear the curtain down. We want to poke some holes in the curtain. We don't like the curtain of trust. But what God is asking us to do is, will you trust the God behind the curtain? Will you trust in the trustworthy God who says, trust in me with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understandings. In all of your ways, acknowledge and look to him. He will make your path straight. Brothers and sisters, we're called, even with the curtain in front of us, to rest in the trust of God. We walk forward knowing not what circumstances are in front of us, but knowing the God who controls and oversees all of life's circumstances. That is where we have our rest. This is what we're called to. Uncertain days, uncertain times, uncertain future, yes, but we trust a certain God, and in him we find our rest and strength. Let's close our time in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the promise and the encouragement and the call of this word this morning. This is not the words of man. This is your words. You tell us to trust in you, the trustworthy God. And Lord, we can only ask, help us. We believe, but help our unbelief. Lord, we trust, but help our distrust. Would you give us such a large vision in these coming weeks of your trustworthiness, of who you are, your goodness, your love, your unfailing love, your redeeming compassion and grace and mercy and covenant keeping promises to us, Lord, that we can't help but trust you, for you are fully trustworthy. Lord, bless us. Give us favor in these uncertain times. Save us from fret and worry and fear about today and tomorrow, knowing that we trust in you. Lord, as the Apostle Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Might we not just entrust our future eternity with you, but even our present days. Thank you for your word to us. Bind it upon our hearts here today. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.